Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is born to us this night. Amen. Many of you know that my wife and I will have a baby around February 6th this coming year. And with the baby on the way, it's going to be a boy, we're very excited. We have babies on the brain. In fact, when I walk with my wife through a mall, my wife can't help herself. She starts veering towards babies. She wants a glimpse at that cute little face. Many of you also know that I have a 10-month-old niece, Ella. And Ella has become the center of attention in my extended family. Several times over the past year, my wife and I have traveled to Champaign from St. Louis, where we are, to see Ella. And I'm shocked every time I see Ella, because every time she does something more physically or she learns something new, she's walking. I mean, now she's walking, but she's scooting across the floor. And as I watch Ella, I'm amazed at how great of a learner she is. She picks up things so quickly. And as a student, I've thought, maybe if I watch Ella, I can observe how she does it and harness that baby energy so that when I go back to the seminary, I can learn quicker and more efficiently. And as I watched Ella, I realized that she learns through her five senses. Ella will be crawling on the ground and she'll spot a toy. She'll stare at it and examine it, and she'll quickly scoot over to that toy. She'll take the toy in her hand, touching it and feeling it. She'll give it a quick sniff and goom, she'll put it in her mouth. And after she's sucked on it an appropriate amount of time, she'll bang it against the floor to hear what it sounds like. So, as I was observing Ella and her five senses, I realized, you know what? This is how we learn as adults. Now, most of us don't put foreign objects in our mouth, well, at least without examining them. But we too learn through our five senses. We observe the world that God has given us, and after observing it, we make logical conclusions. I say, I wonder if my grass is healthy. I look at it, it's brown, it's not healthy. It's as simple as that. But there's a problem that we have. And our problem as humanity is that although that's fine for most questions, there are some deeper and darker questions that we need answered. Questions like, who is God? Where is God to be found? What is God like? What is my relationship with God? And where did man come from and where is he going? Where do I go when I die? And see, we have a big problem because when we face these questions, our five senses don't seem to help as much. I mean, I observe finite things, but how can I observe the infinite God? How can I find God who's not confined to time or space? How can I know about my origins? I wasn't there in the beginning. And how can I know what God will do with me in the future? All that I'm sure of is that I will die. But see, this is why Christmas is so great. Because at Christmas, the Christ child lying in the manger changes everything. With this child, we are enlightened. He brings light to our darkened hearts. He gives understanding. He teaches us the meaning of all existence. At the cradle, Christ's cradle, all of humanity's deepest and darkest questions are finally answered. Now, don't get me wrong. If you could go back and see Mary and Joseph and the baby at that manger, it wouldn't look so special. In fact, Jesus wouldn't have looked any different than a normal Jewish baby. However, through faith, God reveals his great plan for all of the world in this one person, Jesus Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, maybe we should step back from a moment. I've said that Jesus is the answer to God's great plan. But what is this great plan? Well, it all started in the Garden of Eden. In the garden, man fell into sin. He had been with God in the garden, dwelling with God. But because he sinned, he was separated from God. He had to leave the garden. And with sin, all other kinds of problems and enemies came. Sin caused us to live under the worst enemy, the devil. Sin caused an ignorance to our knowledge and darkened our thinking. Sin causes all forms of opponents for the human being. Now, God, after man fell into sin, gave us a promise. And the promise was this, that he would send somebody born of the woman that would crush our opponent, Satan. That he would send one that would bring light to all people, that would drive back the prince of darkness, and that we would have life again. And see, that's what the whole Old Testament is about. People waiting and watching for the one that would come, the light of the world, born of the woman, that would bring about Emmanuel, God with us. And our Old Testament passage for this evening is Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 9, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And with the coming of Jesus in the cradle, that light is finally here. The light of the world has come, who lightens the darkness of our thinking, who destroys sin by his cross, who has defeated the prince of darkness, the devil, and has even defeated the last enemy, which is death. And because of Jesus, we have life. Now, when Jesus grew in stature, we hear that he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And here we see the great fight between the prince of darkness and the prince of light who's come to save us. And Jesus even gives the devil an unfair advantage. He's a man. Although he's without sin, he has all the weaknesses of a man. And he has gone 40 days fasting. But nonetheless, Satan is no match for our Jesus. And Jesus conquers him by the word of God. You might be wondering why I'm telling you about the temptations of Jesus on Christmas. Well, I'm telling you about it because of this, that when Jesus leaves those temptations in the wilderness, Matthew 4 records these words, "The people walking in darkness have now seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, now a light has dawned." You see, with Christ coming, we have light. We have light to all our deep and dark questions. So when we look at the nativity, and we look at the cross, and we look at the resurrection, we see the meaning of the whole story, from creation to the final day when we will go to heaven. We see the God who created us. We see this God who saves us. We see this God who enlightens us by faith. And we see the God who will welcome us to his side on that last day. Hallelujah. But in this manger, here this Christmas, we get to see that first glimpse of the light. We get to see that first glimpse of that light breaking the darkness. And this light enlightens all men. Now, as you go out into the world, our world will not see what we see in the cradle. For they are not looking for God in the cradle. They are not looking for the mysteries of the whole universe in the manger scene. Sinful humanity naturally expects God to reveal himself in power and might. or maybe to come to us in our darkest hour of our personal trials. But no, God himself comes in the most unlikely place, in a manger in Bethlehem as a baby. And he's worshipped by the most likely worshipers, stinky old shepherds. Now, why do you think God has come to us this Christmas? Why do you think that God has come to us in such lowly ways? I mean, he is God the Most High. Why has he come to us in such a simple way? Well, God comes to us in these ways because he loves us. You see, if God came to us in his full infinite power, majesty, might, we would surely be destroyed, for we cannot handle that God. No, rather, God has come to us in a way that's tangible to man. We can behold him. We can touch him. We can hold him. We can hear his word. And I tell you the truth, this night, you can even taste him. We taste Christ in the Lord's Supper, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. What a grace it is that the Almighty God comes to us in such a humble way, a way which any of us can receive him. God comes to us in Jesus, who is the Word of God. And we meet this Word of God in our baptism. We hear and grow in this Word of God through the gospel message. And tonight we receive the Word of God, the very true, real, present Word of God at the Lord's Supper. Therefore, like children, like Ella, who need to learn in tangible ways, let us humbly come up to our Lord's table and receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. And as we cradle our hands to receive his body, let us remember his nativity and joyfully say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen.